going to do it one more time. There was a solemn promise made to the Arabs when the state of Israel was made. In fact, they pleaded with the Arabs to stay and have a democratic state where Arabs and Jews could live side by side. You're going to renounce that solemn pledge.
First of all, I didn't give it. I'm not insane. I'm not a madman. The fact of the matter is that the people who gave that pledge did it in a cynical hope and confidence that the Arabs would never be more than a very, very small percentage of Israel. It was a cynical promise by cynical people who were also terribly timid and terribly frightened, in fact horrified, at the thought of having to face the reality that a democratic concept in the Western sense could someday mean a majority of Arabs in Israel. I can assure you that if you read the book, the biography of Rabin, Yitzhak Rabin, who may yet become, heaven help us, the Minister of Defense of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin led the forces that cleared the cities of Ramle and Lida in the 1948 war. And in his book, he describes how those two cities, which at that time had approximately 50,000 Arabs, Ben Gurion, the first prime minister, stopped by during the battle and said, let's get rid of them, throw them out. Now, so I must tell you something, that there is a vast amount of falsehood, hypocrisy, and so on. What I am saying is, and I pose and I throw this question out to every single person out there from right to left, Jewish or non-Jewish, the question arises, do the Arabs of Israel have a right to peacefully and democratically become a majority, yes or no? That's the question that the Israelis are terrified of, and that's why they call me names rather than facing up to the question.
They call you fascist. In fact, I have a quote here. It comes from Gideon Hausner, the man who prosecuted Adolf Eichmann. And for those who don't remember Adolf Eichmann, he was the SS officer charged with carrying out the extermination of Jews in Nazi Germany. He told the Jerusalem Post not long ago, quote, if our enemies had wanted to do us incalculable harm, they could not have done so more effectively than to have planted a person like Kahane in our midst.
Gideon Hausner, whether he prosecuted Eichmann or didn't, is a horse's rear end. Gideon Hausner is an old babbling fool who is incapable of answering the question that I put to you. We have made up a referendum in Israel, and we have given those out now to leading people in politics and the arts and so on with that question. Do the Arabs of Israel have a right to be a majority, yes or no? Of course he won't answer that. So it's much, much easier for this doddering old man to call me names. So for two reasons, let me advise him not to call me names. One, it doesn't bother me. And secondly, it avoids the painful issue which had better be answered before the Jews lose their state to Arab babies.
All right. You created a stir even when being sworn in. Four or five times, I believe, you refused to repeat the oath structured?
No. One of the problems with the news media is that they don't know how to get the truth.
Okay. What did happen at the swearing-in?
At the swearing-in, every Knesset member gets up and says, I affirm.
Uh-huh.
And I get up and I said, I affirm. And then I added a verse from the Book of Psalms, thinking that in the Knesset of Israel it might be nice to mention a verse in the Book of Psalms. And of course, the Knesset speaker, foolishly, rather than let the thing go, got into this whole hassle, gave me 3 minutes on national TV there, and got me a lot of votes, because there are an awful lot of people in Israel who feel that it would be a very, very nice thing to add a little more Judaism to the Jewish state.
All right, I have a headline here, and it's in bold headlines. 7,000 Israeli Jews and Arabs join in protest of Kahane. It's Dateline El Fam, and that was 7,000 Jews and Arabs united in a protest against Rabbi Meir Kahana, who won your seat just recently by promising to expel the Arabs from Israel. This was your first test of carrying out your policy. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Right. One.
What did you want to do at
one
point?
I mean, you know, I don't know what you're reading from, but I would venture to say it's probably the L.A. Times. It probably figures 7,000 Arabs and Jews. Now, the fact is that there were. What's the L.A. Times?
Well, that's the L.A. Times.
The L.A.
But
Times.
The same thing appeared in the New York Times.
Yeah, but not that headline. Now, that is a typical liberal fraud. Now, there were 6,800 Arabs and 200 Jews. Now, that makes up 7,000 Jews and Arabs. Now, that is a typical fraud. The fact is that there are always a small number of sick Jews. Umm al-Fahm is a nest of vipers. A band of vicious Jew haters. And I just want to read to you just one dispatch from the AP. Now, this appeared long before Kahana. And at this point, there was no Kahana. This is back in 1980. And I'll just read it real, real quickly. An AP story that appeared in the New York Times, January 21st, 1980. About 5,000 Arab soccer spectators shouting Khomeini and down with Zionism stormed the field in Galilee where the team was playing a Jewish squad. The police used tear gas, warning shots, and an armored van to break up the riot in the village of Umm al-Fahm. Quote, this is more than the usual sporting soccer riot, said a police source. The Jewish players had to barricade themselves in the locker room for 2 hours while the Arabs tried to batter down the door. Now, I could go on for hours about this nest of vipers. They are Jew haters, and one of my reasons for going there was to rip away this fraudulent mask that suddenly these are Arabs who love Jews. They hate Jews. They hate the state of Israel. And I came there, and those rocks that were being thrown at the police were being thrown not at Kahana, but at the Jewish state. And it was a pleasure to have that scene on TV in Israel for all the Israelis who have deluded themselves into thinking that these people really, really love us, to suddenly see it is not so. Now, I will be going back to Umm al-Fahm, and this time with a court order. The police will learn that if people riot, you don't take away the rights of people. You take away the rioters. I told the chief of police, who said that we can't handle it. I said, give me 15 cops and I'll handle it in 5 minutes. And believe me, I could have.
I think that there are some rather uncomfortable days ahead in Israel, that's all I can say. All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone, and Dr. M.T. Mehdi of the American Arab Relations Committee. You've debated Dr. Mehdi before.
Some of my best friends are members of the Arab American Relations Committee.
And so we can hardly wait. We'll be right back. Sometimes even called fascist rabbi by some of his own parliamentarians in Knesset. And that's something that's never been seen before, to my knowledge, in the Knesset.
Well, it's never been heard before because left-wing fascists like to call people who know them names. I think that the incredible and most interesting part of the last 6 weeks since my victory has been the flood of insults and defamation, and not one effort to debate the issues that I raise. They are terrified of the issues. They are terrified of me. And therefore, since name-calling is the last refuge of non-thinkers, they call me names. I challenge them to debate me on the issue, on the question, do Arabs have a right to be a majority?
Well, we have someone who wants to debate you now. On the other side, you might say, he's Dr. M.T. Mehdi of the American Arab Relations Committee. Dr. Mehdi, glad to have you with us.
Good morning to you, Ray. Glad to be with you and with my good friend, Rabbi Kahana.
You say that with venom dripping.
No, that isn't true. That isn't true. I know Dr. Mehdi, and he is really just a fine... Dr. Mehdi, it is always a pleasure seeing you in America.
Good morning to you, Rabbi. Welcome to these shores, and we'll keep you here and bring your fellow Israelis to these shores gradually. surgery and more.
Dr. Medina, really, come now.
Wait, let me talk. You've been talking all this time. Let me say that I enjoyed your last track about some of your best friends are members of the American Arab Relations Committee. This kind of track has been heard by other anti-Semites before.
Dr. Mid, I am ashamed of you. Come now.
Please give me a few minutes.
All right.
Ray, I have very little to disagree with Rabbi Kahana. I have one important point to disagree with you, Ray, when you were saying that in 1948 the Jews pleaded with the Arabs to stay. That's a lie being repeated again and again, and I'm glad that Rabbi Kahana correct, at least referred to the book by Rabin.
Well, we could debate that some other time. Let's stay with the issue about chasing all of the Arabs out of Israel. Are you for that?
I'm coming to this, but please don't add things which are really have no foundation.
Well, you know, we can debate that some other time. I'll stay with what I know history to be, and then we can debate it, okay?
No, I agree with Rabbi Kahana that if one is committed to Zionism, one has to follow the steps of Rabbi Kahana through and through. Zionism says that the Jews have the right to occupy Palestine, in which case the Palestinians have the duty to make room for the Jews of Los Angeles, Jews of Poland, and if the Palestinians do not make room, the Palestinians are guilty and they should be punished. And Rabbi Kahana is honest enough, courageous enough to state the ugly conclusion of the premise of Zionism. My disagreement is not with Rabbi Kahana. He's decent, he's honest, he's consistent. I believe that all the so-called Zionism...
Studio, how can I put it kindly? The controversial, I'm not going to call you militant, as the rest of the news media does, the highly controversial, the implacable Rabbi Meir Kahana. And on the phone, Dr. N.T. Meidy of the American Arab Relations Committee. Little did I know that when I got you set up for this this program that you're going to be in agreement with a rabbi.
Ray, I disagree with the rabbi because you wish to emphasize naturally the disagreements. I disagree with him 100%.
Well, let's talk about the disagreements then. I don't want you to agree, otherwise I'll say goodbye to you.
So we disagree. I disagree with him 100% on the basic premise that the Jews of Brooklyn, New York have the right to occupy Palestine. This is 100% disagreement. He disagrees with 50% of my conclusion, and my conclusion, we'll talk about it later, is that the Jews who are there to stay there and the Palestinians who are not there to return to their land, so that the Jews and the Palestinians, all of them, live in one state. We'll talk about this later, but I disagree with him 100% on the basic premise that the Jews have the right to an end to Palestine. Now, if anyone agrees with Rabbi Kahana that the Jews do have such a right, then they have to support him through and through, that if they have the right, they have the right also to suppress the, what Rabbi Kahana referred to, the Dan Arabs.
In other words, it's all or nothing at all, is that right?
Well, it stands to reason. It is a matter of logic. We either support the basic premise and its conclusion, or, as I consider the basic premise, that the Jews have the right to Palestine, an absurd premise, a racist premise, an obscene premise. The Jews do not have any right whatsoever to an end to Palestine. It is stupid to say to the Jews. That's such a right, because 3,000 years ago, God gave it to them, or whatever mishigas they may present.
Dr. Mehdi, I must say that I am deeply impressed by your knowledge of Yiddish. Listen to me. Let us get one thing clear. There is no such thing as Palestine. There never was, never existed, and please God, will never exist. There is Eretz Yisrael, and you of course know Hebrew too, the land of Israel, where we lived long before there were Arabs, long before there were Byzantines, long before there were Romans. We were driven out three times a day. We never ceased saying, we are coming back. We have come back, and I'll be happy to welcome you to Israel should the Israel government wish you, give you the visa. And I will support you fully, because the essential difference between me and this government is that this government allows Arabs to live in Israel, but not to visit. I will allow every Arab to visit and not to live.
All right, hold on, both of you. We have Dr. M.T. Mehdi, president of the American Arab Relations Committee, on the phone. And in the studio, we have, of course, Rabbi Meir Kahane. I'm Ray Brain, here on Talk Radio 77, WABC, New York. All right, I think we ought to go to the phone, so if you're ready, we'll do it. Let's take our first call. Hello, Jeff, you're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Meir Kahane and Dr. M.T. Mehdi. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. Keep your voice up.
Okay. I've noticed in the past, I've heard Dr. Mehdi and Rabbi Kahane argue before, and Dr. Mehdi very smugly says that these Jews from Brooklyn didn't have this right to, quote, occupy Palestine.
Ironically, you're calling from Brooklyn.
Yes, I am. Rabbi Kahane, answer,
that did it.
Rabbi Kahane always seems to answer, well, Jews have their rights to Israel, Eretz Israel. Now, that might be the case, but what Rabbi Kahane fails to say to Dr. Mehdi is that 55% of the population of Israel are Jews who were expelled, or children of Jews who were expelled from Arab nations. I think that is a major point that should be made, and never is.
Well, you know, I mean, let me answer that. I think that point is not a relevant point. I think it is, of course, an important point, but it is not a relevant point.
Dr. Mehdi's question.
Yeah, but the point is that even had the Jews not left the Arab countries, that the Jews had a claim to Eretz Israel. So it is not relevant. Our claim was not based upon the fact that Jews were... Jeff, calm down. Quiet. This isn't the Knesset. Wait a minute. Calm down. You know, you asked a question. A good point. Now listen to the answer. Our claim was made without relevance to whether Jews were thrown out of our countries or not thrown out. They were thrown out, and it's true. And of course, and I of course emphasize this often, over and over and over again, but our claim to the land is not based upon that. Our claim is based upon the fact that no one asked me to be born in Brooklyn. My great-grandparents were thrown out of Israel by the Romans, so that I ended up in Brooklyn. But I didn't ask to end up in Brooklyn. I want to go back home again, and Dr. Mehdi will visit me anytime that the government lets him.
I agree with that point, Rabbi Kahane, but I think that, although I agree with you through that, I fail to see how that addresses his question. I think that he gets a certain degree of media attention. He says, well...
He will get it anyhow.
...him around the
yes.
answer that's accurate, but doesn't address him. And everybody says, well, look at Dr. Mehdi. He's reasonable.
All right, Jeff, listen to Dr. Mehdi. Dr. Mehdi wants to get his words in here.
If the Jews from the Arab countries have gone there, they are equally aggressors, occupiers, foreigners to Palestine, just as if Christians from the Arab countries had gone there, or Muslims from Arab countries have gone to Palestine against the will of the Palestinians. So Rabbi Kahane is again correct. The question is not...
Dr. Mehdi, I love you.
No, it's because you are logically impeccable, and Jeff had to learn a little bit of logic from you.
And you are so incisive.
Your
I don't believe this. Hold on, doctor. We'll be right back. This is Dr. M.T. Mehdi of the American American Arab Relations Committee, and in the studio, the controversial and implacable, I'm not going to say militant, the implacable Rabbi Meir Kahane.
I'm getting more and more placable. Now watch
it. All right.
Can we continue?
Yes, okay. Go ahead, Dr. Meir.
Yeah. My disagreement with Rabbi Kahane is his call and talk about our claim to Eretz Israel. This is stupid. This is absurd. I know to Rabbi Kahane this is a very real serious question, but to the Palestinian in Palestine,
there are no Palestinians.
He's not responsible to what the Romans 3,000 years ago did to some other Jews. He's not responsible to the fact that Jews in Europe or pagans in Europe accepted Judaism, and now Jews from Los Angeles claim that they have a right to Palestine, to the Palestinians. This is so stupid, so absurd, so obscene, so racist. And that is what we object to Rabbi Kahane and all the Zionists.
Dr. Mehdi, now, if you want to talk about obscene and racism, it is the obscenity of Arabs who massacred Jews in what you call Palestine in the 1920s. And shall we speak about those massacres when you had power? Now you sit, and of course you are so gentle. Why? Because you are clever. You don't have the powers, so you have to be clever. But you Arabs massacred Jews in Jerusalem and in Jaffa and in Hebron and in Safed and through the 20s and 30s, 40s. That will never, ever happen again. Know that. Never, ever again. So you can sit and say obscene and racism. I would rather have a Jewish state that is hated by the whole world than the kind of Auschwitz that you would give us that is loved by
you bring up a good point. Can a Jewish state that is hated by the whole world say that your plan comes into fruition and all the Arabs are chased out? And to me, in my way of thinking, that's got shades of Hitler written all over it.
I think it has shades of what the Poles and the Czechs did to the ethnic Germans after World War II. The Poles and the Czechs, who were hardly fascist types, expelled 12.5 million ethnic Germans from the Sudetenland and Silesia and so on because they had learned on their backs in pre-World War II times what a fifth column is. That expulsion was ratified at Potsdam as international law by Truman, by Attlee, and by Stalin. That's much more similar. Or when the Greeks and the Turks exchanged 1 million people in the 1920s, that's similar.
Let's get back to my question, though. Can a Jewish state, the state of Israel, that in essence renounces everything that it stands for?
It's not true.
A democracy would no longer be a democracy.
It would be a democracy.
Could it survive? Could you get support from the United States? I don't think so.
First of all, let me say one thing.
Comment on a few things.
Dr. Mehdi, I was asked a question. I want to answer the question.
Well, you are in the studio there.
Well, that's too bad. Dr. Mehdi, that's the way life is. Next time, you'll be in the studio, and I won't be, and life is a great wheel that simply turns. Let me answer the question, and then you can speak, all right? Because I am older than you, and grayer and sadder.
No, at least you are a religious man, supposedly, and that has some prerogative.
Dr. Mehdi, I will accept that. In any case,
back to my question.
Can Israel survive? First of all, let's get one thing clear. What in the world makes you think that this is a world which supports nations on the basis of what you at this point call ethics? This is a world in which countries back other countries because of self-interest. Certainly, this country is a great, great country. Nevertheless, when it felt that it was to its self-interest, backed Franco Spain and Salazar's Portugal and Tito and Stalin. I believe that it is to the American interest to back Israel. And therefore, I don't believe that this would have any effect on...
You don't think it has any effect?
No, not in the long run.
How many Arabs are Israeli citizens today? 500,000, 600,000?
Close to 700,000.
All right.
Yeah.
If the world sees 700,000 Israeli citizens, Arabs being forced out of their homes. And I think you made the statement, I don't care where they go. I don't care what happens to them.
The world saw 2 million Ghanaians driven out of Nigeria last year. I don't recall anybody getting up and screaming about that. And secondly, I believe that if the Israeli government would get up and explain exactly why it is doing this, my God, if in this country you had a minority of people getting up and growing rapidly, and having babies at a rate which would guarantee that they would be a majority in 20 years, and this group said, this is really our country, and we will take this country back, can you imagine what the average person here would say? Well, that's exactly what we say.
I could just say that if you think that South Africa is considered the pariah the world over because of its
racism, there's a great apartheid.
Can you imagine what the world would be saying
there
about
Israel?
There's
a great difference there. The whites in South Africa came late. They never had any prior claim to it. My God, there's a tremendous difference.
I'm not trying to equate it with South Africa. I'm just saying that since the world considers South Africa a pariah, can you imagine what they would be saying about Israel?
No, because
you don't think that they would
there is, because there is a great, great difference. In South Africa, whites came to a country in which they had never been before, suddenly came in, took it over, and ruled. The land of Israel is the land of the Jewish people. It's in the Bible.
Arabs have been returned to our country. Living in that part of the world side by side with Jews.
Side by side? No. It's been the kind of a coexistence.
All right, coexistence.
Of a rider and a donkey, and the Jews in Arab lands were always the donkey. Now, if you want that kind of a coexistence, I don't. Jews have never been equal in any Arab country, and I don't ask for it. I just want Jews to have their country.
All right, hold on, both
Arabs
of you.
To live in their country.
Hold on, we'll be back in a moment. M.T. Mayady of the American Arab Relations Committee. Now let's go to the phones. Hello, Al, you're on talk radio.
Thanks to Seth.
Good morning. I didn't.
Well, hold on a second, Mr. Mayady. Go ahead, Al.
Hi, I didn't know that Dr. Mayady was going to be on, and it changed my entire train of thought. But I do have a question that I'd like to start out with Dr. Mayady since I've been listening here. I would like him to answer a question which I think is important. What I would like him to tell me is can he name any Arab leader of any government that has been more humane towards Jews than Rabbi Meir Kahane is towards Arabs? And to Rabbi Kahane, I would like to ask, is he proposing that Israel stoop to the level of its adversaries? And I'd like to hear the answers and then elaborate a little bit.
Well, let me just say this. I would rather stoop to the level of an adversary than stoop 6 feet below.
I agree.
All right, fine. Well, just
I agree, but I want to...
Okay, just... Wait. I mean, you asked a question. Fine.
Okay.
Apparently, you don't seem to realize that if the Arabs of Israel become a majority, there will be no Jewish state. Now realize that in a democracy they vote. They will. What Arab will agree to live if he is a majority in a state of Israel, which is called the Jewish state, which has a law of return which applies to Jews only, which has a national anthem which has the words, "The soul of a Jew yearning." Don't have contempt for the Arabs. The Arabs want an Arab state, and I understand them. So therefore, don't tell me about stooping. What I am talking here is survival of the only Jewish state in the world.
Rabbi, you're talking to a guy that stood and applauded you for your efforts in a crowded auditorium. It wasn't that long ago when the Jewish Defense League was organized to defend the oppressed and elderly Jews from anti-Semitic hoodlums and hate groups. I'm sure it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
And you were, you had the support, and you were applauded, and it was great, and it was beautiful.
I had support, and I was applauded? My God, I still feel the bricks that were thrown at me. You know, it's incredible how Jewish memories go back about 3.5 weeks. What are you talking about?
No, I'm asking that bombs on civilian buses.
Who's talking about bombs on civilian buses? I'm talking about a humane transfer of Arabs to any one of their 22 countries.
Ray, let me say...
All right. Go ahead, Dr. Mady.
I believe I have been listening here more than I have been participating, so please give me...
Thank God.
Go ahead.
See, the good Zionists, the nice Zionists, who are indignant today and are against Rabbi Kahana, they are unhappy like yourself, Ray. You said that what would the world do if the Jews expel 700,000 Arabs indignantly? Well, this is what the Israelis did to the Palestinians in 1940.
That's not true. That's not true.
Rabbi Kahana now is advocating what the good Zionists and the good Israelis did earlier.
I don't think any of us agree on that.
I advocate doing what the Arabs did to 700,000 Jews from Arab countries.
I cannot permit you to take all the time. My God, be a little bit more careful.
He is also my God, but you're right, yes.
Okay. Now, what Ray, you hinted that Rabbi Kahana's efforts to expel the Arabs may have a tinge of Nazism.
He didn't say that. No, no.
Something
no.
along that line.
No, no. You said that. He would never say that.
I want to say what I say is more than that. I say the whole concept of Zionism to begin with is a fascist concept. And Rabbi Kahana is a clear expression, is an authentic of that fascist theology.
I can't believe you, Dr. Mady, that you're going to call Zionism Nazism.
I call it fascism.
Fascism?
Exactly.
Same thing.
And what you are now indignant is what has been done to the Palestinians. Rabbi Kahana is courageous to admit the ugly conclusion of the premise that the Jews have the right to occupy Palestine. If they have the right, for whatever reason, I disagree with his reasoning.
All right. Al, go ahead. Have a shot at Dr. Mady.
Ray, it's obvious to me that Dr. Mady will not answer my question of 22 or 23, I think it's 22 or 23, Arab nations, which one has shown more humanism towards Jews than Rabbi Kahani is showing towards the Arabs, and he hasn't answered that question. So the question, when I asked Rabbi Kahani, he answered me.
Here is the answer.
All right, let him answer.
The answer, whatever it is, and I'll tell you in a second, is irrelevant to an irrelevant question. Whether the Arabs are humane or not humane, this does not mean that the Jews of Brooklyn have a right to occupy an inch of Palestine.
But it does. Dr. Mehdi, but that's the whole point. Because Muslims and Christians have not allowed Jews to live. That's why we need a Jewish state.
A few more minutes, Rabbi Kahana, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
See, now, Rabbi Kahana and I are talking about the issues. The man who called is raising irrelevant issues. If the Arabs are bad, this doesn't mean that some Jews from Poland have the right to occupy Palestine. If you can give some evidence and talk to this issue, then we are talking about the same issue. All Arabs are more decent than all the fascists and the Zionists. So there.
I can't believe that kind of a generalization. I don't believe that from you, Dr. Mahady.
Oh,
I really don't.
Well, I do.
All right. To explain it?
I'm not even interested in any kind of an explanation.
Ray,
I mean, that is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. That seventh grade type of thinking.
Well, like yours many a time.
Dr. Mehdi, I think that you are absolutely right that we must deal with the issues. And you have touched upon the issue. What this person asked was a most relevant question. Because if it is true that Jews cannot live under Arabs, or they suffer under them, or under Christians, in Brooklyn, it is not a Jewish state.
Get a Jewish state.
I want a Jewish state, just as there are 21 Muslim states. Muslim states, Dr. Mehdi. Did you hear that? And I don't care if you will now tell me, but you are against Muslim states too. I know, I've heard that. So therefore, I want you to now organize a group to go to Morocco and to change that state. And once you do that, then we'll talk about changing the Jewish state.
We will have one Jewish state in Brooklyn where there are 50 other American states. Only one Jewish state in Brooklyn. Why not?
Let's take another call.
Eddie.
Hello, Gene. You're on Talk Radio with Dr. Mehdi and, of course, Rabbi Meir Kahane.
Thank you. Rabbi,
yes.
I would like to try to bring a little objectivity into the discussion, which has been so subjective.
All right, hurry. We only have a minute.
Can you tell me what you think of ethnocentricity in general?
I think that for the Jewish people, and speaking as a rabbi, that it is a commandment of God for the Jewish people to be Jewish, to be separate. That is not Meir Kahane. That is Judaism. All right?
So there is one case in which ethnocentricity is good, and in all others, I apparently think that...
Distinction? Not at all. If Muslims wish to be separate and good Muslims, more power to them. And the same with Christians and
then
so on.
Then ethnocentricity is a good thing in your statement.
At times it is good. At times it is bad. It depends upon how... It's like money. Money is not good. Money is not bad. Money is money. If it is used properly, it is good.
You're a rabbi. What is your plan for peace in that region?
My plan for peace is for all the Jews to go back to God's word, and then the Messiah will come. That's my ultimate plan for peace.
All right, Gene, thank you very much. On the phone, we have Dr. M.T. Mehdi, president of the American Arab Relations Committee. In the studio, the always controversial Rabbi Meir Kahane. This is WABC, Talk Radio 77, and I'm Ray Brain. You were in jail in Israel for 8.5 months without any charge. Why did they jail you?
Well, if I would know the charge, then I would not have been jailed for 8.5 months.
But do you have some idea as to why they jailed?
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't.
No suspicions?
I can have many, many, but...
Did they think that you had something to do with the Arab mayors?
No, because I was jailed prior to that. I was jailed prior to that. In fact, when that incident happened, I was in prison, and we held a party that night.
You held a party?
A party. I want to tell you something, that if this
you know,
had been
I can't believe what I just heard.
Well, believe it, because I'm going to now say it again. Had a party. Now let me tell you why. Have you any idea who Bassem Shaka is?
No.
Well, Bassem Shaka was the head of the PLO on the West Bank. There was an effort made to throw him out. Begin arrested him, and then unfortunately he backed away. If this were 1941 and a Nazi mayor had been blown up by a group of Jewish underground people, what do you think Jews would have done? Wept? Bassem Shaka is a man who is committed to the physical liquidation of Jews. Now, he's not some innocent farmer. So therefore, when I said we had a party, because he is a man committed to the destruction of Israel.
All right, what about the bombs that were planted under the buses here? And fortunately, they were found in time.
Mm.
Did your movement have anything to do with that?
No. Most of the overwhelming majority of those arrested were members of Gush Emunim. Now, having said that, I in no way want to leave an impression that I feel that what they did was a bad thing. I want to make two statements at this point. Had I been the Prime Minister of Israel, there would have been no need for any bombs anyway. Not a hair from an Arab head would have fallen, because I would have removed the Arabs from Israel. I don't want to kill Arabs at all. I don't want to kill a single Arab. I don't want to hurt a single Arab.
You just want to run them out.
I want to transfer them out of the country, because otherwise they'll kill Jews.
Go ahead.
As far as the bombs were concerned, what are we supposed to do? When for 36 years there were Arab bombs on Jewish buses and Arab marketplaces, just a few months earlier, a bomb was not found, but exploded on the bus 18 in Jerusalem, and six Jews were murdered, including two sisters, the same family, the Pollack family in Jerusalem. What are we supposed to do when a hapless Israeli government has no plan? What am I supposed to do when my wife travels on a bus and my daughter's shop in the marketplace? What am I supposed to do? Well, what I'm supposed to do is elect Kahana and move the Arabs out. But if that's not happening, what am I supposed to do? I am not a person who sits by quietly. Either move the Arabs out or teach them a lesson that he who plans bombs and lives by the bomb shall perhaps die by the bomb.
Okay. Dr. Mehdi, how do you feel about what you've just heard?
What I heard is the following possibilities that Rabbi Kahana said. Either remove the Arabs, and I suggest he can come back to his Brooklyn. And
so we're back to Brooklyn again.
Of course, because Rabbi Kahana wants to evict the Arabs. Our plan is to provide opportunities for the Israelis to immigrate to their countries of origin and to North America. Rabbi Kahana has said that the Arabs have killed Jews. He has failed, of course, understandably, to say about the Arabs who were killed by Jews. There are Arab bloody hands and Jewish bloody hands. And the Arabs have killed about 10,000, 15,000 Jews. The Jews have killed about 100,000 to 150,000 Arabs. And I suggest that possibly a peaceful solution to the problem will be if we provide opportunities for the Jews who have gone to Palestine and they may now be afraid of bombs and so on, to return back to their countries of origin. And to this effect, Ray, you may or may not know, I am planning to go to Israel to meet with the Israeli intellectuals, news media, college professors, and urge the Israelis.
And listen, while you're there, you want to stop by and say hello to the newest Knesset member, right?
If the Israeli government doesn't let me in, I'll ask Rabbi Kahana.
I will raise the issue in the Knesset. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
I will insist upon the absolute right of every Arab to visit Israel.
Rabbi Kahana, I want to bring you and all the Israelis to the beloved New York and establish a Jewish state in
Brooklyn.
He said that some of these right-wing anti-Semitic evangelical groups support Israel. And of course, ironically, Jerry Falwell and other anti-Semites...
Now, wait a minute. Jerry Falwell is not an anti-Semite.
Well, in my judgment, he is.
Well, okay. He might be in your judgment, but I've talked with him at length, and you can say a lot of things against Jerry Falwell, but I don't think that one sticks. How do you feel about that, Rabbi?
Absolutely not. I am no fan of Falwell. Absolutely no fan. But he is not an anti-Semite. And Dr. Mehdi, you have got to stop labeling and libeling people. Be careful.
Well, let me finish my sentence.
All right, well, go ahead. Keep a civil tongue and go ahead.
Okay. In my opinion, these right-wingers are anti-Semitic, but this is the irony that they support Israel, not out of love, but because they want to expel the Jews from America. This will help the general position of Rabbi Kahana, and the American Jews should get out of here if they believe in Zionism.
Oh, I've heard it.
Well, we'll help them.
Well, I've got Rabbi Kahan on one hand who wants to expel the Arabs, and you want to expel the Jews. I can't believe this show. I'll be back in a moment, though, with Rabbi Meir Kahana and Dr. M.T. Mazel. Go ahead.
Hi, Ray. This is a privilege. I'm a first-time caller. As I understand it, Rabbi Kahana, you want a pure Israel state. Is that right?
I want a state in which I don't have people who want to wipe out Jews. Now, if the Arabs are...
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Neither Jewish or Arab...
All right, that's not relevant either. Go on.
What I'd like to ask you is, what is the percentage of Christian Arabs in Israel, and would you like to get rid of them, too?
Let me just say one thing to you, because obviously you don't know anything about Arabs. Well, whether Arabs are Christian, or Arabs are Muslim, or Arabs or anything else...
What the percentage was...
Just wait a...
What is the percentage of Christian Arabs in Israel?
Now, listen, mister.
You want to get rid of them.
Now, listen, mister. You ask a question. I will give you the answer the way I want to, and if you don't like it, hang up. All right? Now, just shut up.
I'm not hanging up on you.
Well, mister, just be quiet, or else I'm going to just pass, okay?
Go ahead.
All right. Now, be quiet. Whether an Arab is a Christian or an Arab is Muslim, there is no difference in his attitude towards a Jewish state. Now, there are approximately 18% Christian Arabs in Israel, and almost all the rest are Muslim. But that's not relevant. That's not relevant to anything.
Let me ask you this. Would you want to get rid of the Armenians and the Greeks and the Turks, too?
If
you want a pure...
The Armenians are Arabs.
Armenians are Arabs.
The Armenians are Arabs. They speak...
The thing you've ever said.
Listen to me, the fellow. You know, I don't know who you are, what you are.
You don't know. I'm a pure American, sir.
What's a pure American?
Yeah, what the hell is that? What are you, Indian?
I'm born in America.
What are you, an Indian?
United States.
All right, you're an Indian.
American,
okay, fine.
Irrelevant.
Right, Dr. Mehdi, right on.
Let me ask you, sir. Let me ask you this question, and then I'll get off. Priests have been known to be excommunicated, and ministers have been excommunicated, and I'm wondering about in the Jewish religion, do they ever have rabbis that are excommunicated?
No, we are extremely liberal.
Well, you don't deserve the privilege of being a rabbi no more than Hitler.
Well, thank you, because Hitler wasn't a rabbi after that, and I must tell you that.
Rabbi Kahana, let me ask you a question.
Dr. Mehdi, it's always a pleasure to hear you again.
Right. You see, you have said that you don't trust the Arabs. Well, the Arabs don't trust you either.
That's quite true. Fine. Good. Hey, therefore, we should be separate.
Please give me a minute. Okay. I am coming to something more important.
Yes.
There are also a large number of Jews who don't trust you, and you don't trust them, including the leaders of the American Jewish organizations, American Jewish Committee, Jewish Congress, Anti-Defamation League. You don't trust them.
That's not true. I do trust them to do exactly what they have been doing.
New York recently called you scum.
Yes. And my answer to him was that he's not a happy man. A little gay, but not too happy.
That was your answer to Mayor Koch?
Yes.
Did he respond to that?
No, I think he's still stunned. I'm probably the first one to leave him stunned. I want to tell you something about Koch. He has a big, big mouth. The same Mayor Koch who was now running around talking about the settlements and so on. I remember when Koch paid his first visit to Israel. He came from Egypt in 1979 and attacked the settlements. He's a person who goes with the wind. And I really don't care what this loudmouth says.
All right, let's take another call. Let's say hello to Michael. Hello, Michael. You're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Meir Kahana and Dr. M. T. Mehdi.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
To address a couple questions to the rabbi, and according to the U.S. immigration official,
louder, please.
You're going to have to speak up.
Yes. According to a U.S. immigration official I spoke with here in New York, Americans may not hold dual citizenship.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm sorry. What?
Wait.
You said that
Americans may not hold dual citizenship.
Yes.
Right. You apparently do. I'm trying to find out whether or not you support the right of all Americans to live and vote in another country and to have the option of returning to the U.S. at any time.
I would hope that other people who work for these, you know, have far greater knowledge. This country allows you to hold dual citizenship. That is the law. Millions of people hold it. Millions of people vote in both countries. Millions of people serve in various armies. That is the law. Tell your friend to take a basic course in civics.
It used to be, under the 1940 Immigration Act, that you could lose your citizenship for several reasons. If you didn't return to the country every 5 years, if you voted in a foreign election, if you served in a foreign government, you were risking losing your citizenship. But there were a couple of very important Supreme Court decisions. I talk about this. Nobody ever listens to me. Back in 1967. Now, hold on a second. In 1967, the Supreme Court said that every American should never, ever have arbitrarily his citizenship taken away by government unless he himself formally renounces his citizenship.
Exactly right. And that's why I think that all this talk in the, you know, papers is one huge red herring.
Now, there's a story in the New York Times here recently saying that the State Department is studying whether you should face a loss of citizenship.
Yeah, well, let them study it.
Do you think there's any danger that they're going to try and prosecute you?
No.
Rabbi Kahane and Dre?
Yes.
I have written to the State Department, and this is first. Rabbi, you will get a copy of my letter.
I can hardly wait.
Yes, in which I stated that Ephraim versus Russ.
Right, that's the one.
Dre referred to in 1967 precludes any possibility of taking away any citizenship. It says, once a citizen, always a citizen.
Well, then we all agree, don't we?
I knew I had a friend in MT Medic.
Well, because we want you to be an American despite yourself. That's
it. All right, hold on a second. On the phone, Dr. M.T. Mehdi, President of the American Arab Relations Committee, and Rabbi Meir Kahane. You know, with Rabbi Meir Kahane and Dr. Mehdi. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Kahane.
You better call him Rabbi. I saw him on Crossfire.
That's right. I got angry.
Got very angry with Mr. Braden.
I see. Mr. Kahane?
Rabbi Kahane, or else you can shut up, okay?
It seems to me that you've mentioned the Bible a couple of times as far as a basis for some of the things which you say should take place in Palestine.
In the land of Israel.
Okay. In Jewish-occupied Palestine.
In the land of Israel.
Yes.
And it's Rabbi. Now continue.
Now, since you refer to the Bible, and I am one who believes in referring to the Bible quite often, and in fact, I read it daily.
Good man.
And not only the Old Testament, but also the New, and one who believes that Christ is Jesus, who came in the flesh and is the Son of God, and who rose from the dead and walked on the earth again and then ascended into heaven. And through the revelation that was given to John...
Let's stay away from the religious angle.
Okay.
What is it that you're trying to say without getting into the Bible?
Well...
And religious tenets.
It's not that I'm trying to get into the Bible, except that your guest has decided to say that the Bible has given him some hold onto the land that he wishes to occupy.
I don't know that he said that.
Okay, fine.
Yes, that too was implied.
Let's say, of course I said it. Of course God gave the Jews the Bible. That's in the Old Testament. If that's not in the Old Testament, you've been reading the Reader's Digest version.
Well, we have a disagreement there.
Have we really?
We most assuredly do.
Have we really? Tell me, what does it say in Genesis 15 when God says to Abraham, and he then lists the boundaries? What does it say, or has that been cut as X-rated?
Okay, now, is Abraham a Jew?
No, he was really half Chinese.
Well, I don't think that Abraham was a Jew, because Judah didn't come around. Until
okay, we're into religious philosophy, and we're going to say we're in. Thank you very much, Eric. Dr. Mehdi, I'm really amazed here this morning that more often than not, you've been agreeing with the rabbi.
whenever he is logical, and he is, I disagree with his basic premise and the belief that God gave him this land and all that kind of mythology, which...
You call the Bible mythology?
Seriously, but to me will not provide a basis in law to take other people's land. And that is the basic issue and our basic disagreement.
Mm. All right.
And I believe that if we go to a court of law and present Rabbi Kahane's our claim to the land of Israel, this our claim to the land of Israel, I don't believe will hold water in any court of law, not even in
Israel.
Well, by some of those who know better than you do,
Rabbi. All right, Dr. Mady. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brink. Go on the road like G. Gordon Liddy and Timothy Leary. You make a great act.
That's right. Okay, fine.
Tell me about the Koch movement. You have stated that the next time the elections are held, you're going to have more seats in the Knesset.
Well, not just I think that all the recent polls show that. My basic strength came from the young Sephardic Jews, who of course make up today the majority.
You're talking about the European Jews.
No, the Sephardic Jews. Those from Arab countries.
From the Arab countries.
That's right.
Not the
European Jews.
Not the European Jews.
My basic backing came from those Jews who come from Arab countries and who know what it had meant to once live under Arabs, and they said thanks, but no thanks. There were countless Jews who, in this past election, wanted to vote Koch, but did not do so for one reason, and that is they really didn't believe that it had a chance, and they didn't want to waste the vote. Now that I have won, I'll get those votes, plus an awful lot of other votes from young Jews, many of whom will be voting for the first time, and for whom Menachem Begin means nothing, but Kahane means a lot.
Now, as a member of Parliament, you have immunity for prosecution, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, and that's a thing which I've never had. And it's a good feeling.
There was a story, I believe, in the New York Times saying that before you were being sworn in, there was some thought as to charging you with something to get you incarcerated before you had the immunity.
Well, the Times, as usual, is off the mark. Immunity is awarded a member of Parliament the minute that he wins the election.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, as with so many, you know, I've been reading the articles here, and I'm just... impressed by the number of just errors and mistakes.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, Mike. You're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Meir Kahane and Dr. Mehedi.
Hello. Rabbi Kahane.
Yes.
I noticed that you like to say that you're Jewish, which may be all well and good. However, you know and I know that you're not Hebrew.
You're right.
Hebrew is a language.
I just, you know, said earlier that I'm half Chinese since I'm descended from Abraham.
Well, you know and I know that your extraction is Khazar.
Yeah, well, that is the other half.
And the Khazars did not become Jews until around the 800 A.D.s.
Well, actually, mine came earlier. I think mine was around 700.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if this be so,
yes.
And since the chosen people were called Hebrews in the Bible, children of Israel, or whatever, that simply means then that the people that claim the blood right in Israel today to the land,
yes,
are not telling the truth, because over 90% of them are of Khazar extraction, just as the Jews in the United States are.
That is indeed a problem. Well, I guess you'll have to eat your heart out, and that's the way it goes.
No, because the Arabs are telling the absolute truth. You do not have a blood right to the land of Israel.
Well, that's the way it goes, fellow. It's too bad.
It's too bad. Well, that means you're interlopers, and that means that they can drive you out.
If they would like to, you know, try for the sixth time, let them try. They're in a rut so far.
All right, Mike, thank you. Hello, Kenny, you're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Kahane and Dr. Mehedi.
Yeah, I believe that even if there was a blood tie directly between Rabbi Kahane and Abraham, still, this will not entitle him to go and occupy Palestine.
There is no Palestine, Dr. Mehdi.
Well, you know there is. You don't want to admit...
Well, why don't you call it Israel?
Well, no, I call it...
I know. You refuse to call it by what it is. I mean, you're playing a mythical game. There never was a country called Palestine.
Ray, you are not a party. There is Kahana there who can...
No, wait a minute. I'm just saying there never was a country called Palestine. There's a geographical area, but you name me a government that existed.
Ray...
No, I mean, just tell me. I'm
are you debating with me?
I'm debating with you. Yeah, right now, right now. Just tell me who the head of government was and where the seat of government was for the country of Palestine.
The seat of government, the capital, was Jerusalem.
Uh-huh. And who was the president of Palestine?
Listen, now I'm talking. Am I your guest or are you the guest?
No. Say hello to Lefty Louise. Oh. Hello, Louise.
Hello, Louise.
Hello, Rabbi.
Hello, Lefty.
Rabbi Khan. Hello.
Hi there.
Hello. Rabbi, you have a problem.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
And I'm really speaking to it.
Yes, but you're not alone. It's a worldwide problem.
A worldwide problem.
Yes. Religion does drive people crazy. And what we need is not a stockpile of nuclear weapons. We need more couches. Do you realize
and
that?
Dr. Freud.
Yeah, you're a sick man, Rabbi. All of you. You're all sick. Why, Lord Reagan is leading us to hell in a handbasket. And you all love him. The actor. Oh, he's a great actor, isn't he? He's charming. Isn't he charming, Rabbi? Huh? And why the Ku Klux Klan?
We're not debating the elections coming up and the president.
All for Reagan.
Did you want to talk about the issue at hand? How do you feel about what the rabbi wants to do, chasing the Arabs out of Israel?
Well, I think he's sick. That's religion. Your sacred book. You ought to tie a blue ribbon around it and throw it in the deep blue sea. With the rest of the debris. Wake up. Wake up.
What about my plan to bring the Israelis to Western Europe and North America? This is not based on any religious ground, but on humanitarian.
Oh, well.
As a concern for peace, what do you think about that?
You know, if we don't keep our marbles together, religion affects everyone directly and indirectly, even the innocent. It drives the innocent crazy, too. Why, they're in mental hospitals, walking around, kissing the picture of the Virgin Mary, and mumbling. And the mafia, they carry prayer beads in their pockets. Did you know that?
But my plan...
Yes, hitmen for God, like the Nazis. And that gives Reagan, it paves the way for Reagan to push religion on us.
We're back to Reagan again. Do you want to stay with the issue?
Crime that keeps religion in business. Yes, religion likes to punish us. They entrap us.
Did you want to talk to Dr. Mehdi, or did you want to talk to the Rabbi Kahana?
No, please, Mehdi.
They lead us into temptation, and then they punish us.
Louise, we know how you feel about religion. Did you want to talk with Dr. Mehdi?
Bible tests and searches.
Louise. Louise.
It's his handbook. It's tests.
Louise, did you want to talk to Dr. Mehdi would like to say something to you.
Easy.
Louise.
Communism is a scapegoat. You're driving them crazy, too. I hope they wake up, really wake up, and wake you up.
Well, she's tremendous. Tremendous.
I am tremendous.
Lefty, I want to patent you.
I'm old enough to know what's going on. I've been very observing all my life.
Observant.
Yes. I know what the religious fanatics are, how they break up homes and divide people, turn brother against brother and nation against nation for all their crazy ideas. You nuts, you and your old dirty Bible, it's filthy.
Listen, enough blasphemy. Did you want to speak to Dr. Mehdi or Rabbi Kahana? If not, we'll jingle off.
Dirty and hypocritical.
Did you want to speak to these two? Oh, she...
Oh, she hung up.
Oh, my God.
Lefty, you disappointed me.
Too much anyway.
I must...
You say it would be too much anyway?
Well, she was wasting the valuable time.
Yes.
Saying the irrelevant thing.
Right, let's get to the relevant thing. All right, here we go.
I thought she was great.
Hello, Raymond.